Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Boy, we got a great hour lined up for you right now because we have George Blackard in studio for Freedom Friday, and we've got Montana State Auditor James Brown on the line. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
So, Jim, I've got a story here in front of me. Montana State Auditor issues moratorium on wildfire insurance cancellations. Can you give us the summary on what you did there?
Yeah, I sent out a communication from my office. As you know, my office regulates insurance and insurance companies in Montana. And as a result of the Jericho fire happening in Lewis and Clark County earlier this month, we were getting notifications from Montanans that insurance companies were notifying customers that they were canceling their homeowners insurance policies due to wildfire risk in areas that weren't even close to that fire. So under Montana law, insurance companies are prohibited from unfairly discriminating between risks of the same class and or by refusing, canceling, or limiting coverage based solely on geographic location. So, for example, they're saying that an area is wildfire risk. And so I just sent out a missive to insurance companies saying, hey, you got to comply with Montana law, and been pretty successful so far, I think.
Sounds like a good thing to me. What do you think, George?
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, to me, it always feels like the insurance companies are trying to do everything they can to not provide the services that you pay them for years. So I love to hear this.
Yeah, great work, Commissioner Brown.
Yeah, thank you.
So what's going on with the latest in AI and insurance? I know that that's kind of been getting some news coverage lately.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. I mean, we're talking 1984. The book is coming into reality, I would say. So you've talked a lot this morning about the One Big Beautiful Bill and kind of what that bill has done and hasn't done. I'm pleased to say one of the provisions that didn't make it into that bill was there was a provision that would have prohibited states like Montana and commissioners of insurance like me from enforcing any law or regulation limiting, restricting, or otherwise regulating artificial intelligence models. So, for example, the use of AI for making insurance decisions. And it would have done so for a period of 10 years. I worked with my other state insurance commissioner colleagues in advocating that that provision be moved from the Big Beautiful Bill because we know that AI has a lot of benefits, but we also know there could be a lot of drawback in that. And so that was removed.
So what do you see insurance companies trying to use AI for, like to actually adjust claims or to assess risk during underwriting, or what are they trying to use it for?
Yeah, so I'm not opposed to, that's a great question. I'm not opposed to the use of AI by insurance companies, particularly in trying to speed up and develop like their forms, their policy forms and that sort of thing. But I have real concerns, as do my other insurance commissioners, that the AI is going to be start to be used to make a determination of claims and a determination of coverage.
That sounds like a big problem. Hey, we're up against the break. We'll be right back here. David Noble and George Blackard filling in. We got Jim Brown on the line. We'll be right back.
It's July 10th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Kitten Day, when those little feline balls of fur show off their cuteness and melt their way into our hearts. Videos of cats and kittens can be found by the millions on the web and are a welcome distraction for so many of us during our day. However, the day is also meant to shine awareness on the responsibility of owning one of these little bundles of four-legged joy. So remember, if you're thinking of getting a kitten, make sure you have what it takes. Also on this date, in 1934, pitcher Carl Hubbell of the New York Giants set a Major League Baseball All-Star Game record for consecutive strikeouts, punching out a murderer's row of would-be Hall of Famers like Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Jimmy Fox, Al Simmons, and Joe Cronin. If it's your birthday today, you share it with physicist, electrical engineer, and inventor Nikola Tesla, born in 1856. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot. Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, summer is here, and with warmer weather comes a chance for some new beginnings. There is no better time to focus on your health with Billings Last Diet. Over 7 years ago, I lost 30-plus pounds thanks to their program, and I've kept it off ever since. Some of our listeners have climbed even higher, losing over 100 pounds. Think about all your favorite summer activities, hiking the trails, biking with friends, or playing with your kids. Now you take all that weight off your back. You take all that weight off your knees. And imagine that same hike with 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 plus pounds no longer on your back. Billings Last Diet is the program that works. This can be your last diet. Check out BillingsLastDiet.com, BillingsLastDiet.com, or give them a call right now, 294-6751. They even have a remote option if you don't live in Billings. So check them out. It's a program that works.
David Noble and George Blackard here filling in for Aaron Flint. We've got Montana State Auditor Jim Brown on the line. Right before that last break, Jim Brown was talking about how he had worked with some of his other commissioners from around the country to remove some of the provisions in the One Big Beautiful Bill that limited state regulatory issues over AI. One of the concerns being AI being used to actually make insurance claims adjustments. My thought was it's difficult enough to deal with adjusters, and then it's all, one of my pet peeves is getting stuck in a phone system where you can't talk to somebody. So I think limiting AI from being the adjusters is a fantastic idea. What do you think, George?
Well, don't forget that AI will put out whatever its creator puts into it. And so you'll remember two instances, and one just recently. Grok, Elon Musk's own AI source, it went nuts. It went anti-Semitic. It basically said it would be Hitler and it would get rid of these people and these people. And so it went off the hook and went crazy, and they had to fix it. And then afterwards it said, well, I never said any of that. But see, that's the thing. And you can create it and put in information so that you get the result that you want. And that's what insurance companies would do.
Oh, totally. And Commissioner Brown, I'm sure you've heard the stories of these lawyers from around the country that have been sanctioned by federal courts because they've cited totally fake cases to them. So, you know, there's a whole lot of problems with AI. And the last thing we need is AI adjusting insurance claims in Montana, right?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. You seem to have had a number of lawyers on this morning on your show.
Hey.
And, I'll join that cavalcade. Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I, David, as part of our law practice, although I'm not practicing law right now, obviously being the commissioner of insurance, but, you know, I still get the information that we sign up for what's happening in other states. And in fact, I just got an email yesterday, and there was a story in there about how two attorneys got sanctioned for improper citations due to the use of AI. It was fake citations. And not only did that result in them losing their case or their client, but they also received sanctions on their licenses. And, you know, again, it comes back to what George was talking about and what I was mentioning is that, you know, there's a lot of benefits to AI and how it can be used to streamline processes, but it can be used improperly. And that's the balance.
So are you, is your office actually promulgating any regulations on that issue, or is it more just sort of enforcing, you know, good faith, you know, claims handling practices and things like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there was actually a bill in the 2025 legislature that would have prohibited, straight out prohibited the use of AI for those doing business in Montana in terms of insurance, like just straight prohibition. I actually went in and opposed that legislation and it died. But what we're doing is we're communicating with those insurance companies that do business in Montana, saying that we will not accept rates based on AI computations, or we are checking to make sure that when they do wildfire risk and that sort of thing, that they're actually legitimate.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
Absolutely.
Okay, Commissioner Brown, what else are you working on there at the office, at the state auditor's office?
So one of the really interesting things that we're working on, and much of this is actually as a result of the legislative decisions that were made in the 2025 legislature. Our agency, because we regulate securities companies in Montana, wealth management companies, has been tasked to basically start into the area of digital currency and digital asset regulation. And we're right now participating in a Montana Blockchain and Digital Innovation Task Force, which was passed by the legislature. And what this will do is start a governor's task force to talk about how we're going to regulate digital currencies. And then the legislature passed the Financial Freedom and Innovation Act, which basically gives my office the authority to regulate what are known as digital tokens. And in fact, I think Montana, because of that bill, will be the first state that has a regulatory scheme for those that engage in digital tokens to actually be regulated by a government entity.
So, Jim, the last time you were on, I think I just asked you straight up, is Bitcoin a security? And I'm not sure if you had an answer back then, and I'm not sure you've got one today. Or do you?
Well, the federal government is currently debating this issue. There's a bill in Congress right now called the Genesis Act, where the federal government is trying to determine how to regulate these digital currencies, whether they're going to preempt state enforcement authority. Again, this is something that I want to protect, my authority to protect Montana consumers in these digital currencies. And then they're trying to determine which federal agency will actually regulate digital currencies, whether the SEC as a security, or whether it will be treated as a commodity. Lots of questions right now.
All right, we're up against another break. It's David Noble and George Blackard filling in for Aaron Flint with the state auditor, Jim Brown, on the line. We'll be right back.
Fox Sports Update.
High fly ball, right field, Moore back. He's on the track, he's at the wall. See ya! A home run for Judge. Number 34. And the Yankees lead 7-0. To within one of Raleigh.
He picked back there and said, I'm only one behind you now. As he crossed home plate.
On the Yes Network, Aaron Judge hit his 34th home run of the Yankees' 10-3 win over the Mariners. One inning after Judge got within one home run of Cal Raleigh for the Major League lead, and Judge fell two behind again.
Cal, the deep drive to right field. Way back and gone. Up to the second deck in right field. Cal Raleigh, when will we stop being amazed? His 36th home run. It is now the most ever by a Seattle Mariner before the All-Star break. Simply incredible stuff from the Mariners catcher.
On Root Sports Northwest, Major League home run leader Cal Raleigh has one more homer before the All-Star break than Ken Griffey Jr. did for the Mariners back in 1998. The National League's home run leader also added to his total last night. Shohei Ohtani hit a leadoff blast for the Dodgers, but the NL West leaders lost their fifth game in a row, 3-1 to the Brewers. Milwaukee starting pitcher Jacob Mizorowski struck out 12. Ohtani leads the National League with 31 home runs. The Miami Marlins stretched their team record to 11 consecutive wins on the road. The Marlins sextupled the Reds Tuesday, 12-2, longest road win streak by any Major League team in 2 years since the Phillies won 13 in a row away from home. Wild ending at the Giants-Phillies game in San Francisco. Patrick Bailey became the first player in 9 years to end a game with a walk-off inside-the-park home run, a three-run homer that gave San Francisco a 4-3 win over Philadelphia. For more scores, stories, and features, go to foxsports.com. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com. Montana Talks. Will you get the mic? Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, George, I want to get your sort of reaction to what we've heard so far from Montana State Auditor James Brown and any follow-ups you've got.
Well, I like what I'm hearing so far. Of course, I like Mr. Brown when he was running for office. I was like, that's the guy that we need to have in there for sure. But one thing that I remember him talking about when he was campaigning was his desire to provide the people of Montana multiple options for insurance, for affordable insurance. And I know there are insurance companies that just won't do business in Montana. So how's that coming? If it's enticing insurance companies to do business here, you know, is it, has it improved over what it was? Where are we at with that?
Go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead, Jim. Did you hear that?
I did. Yeah. I appreciate that question. So yeah, let me set the sort of the groundwork for this. George is absolutely right. What we had been seeing in Montana from about the 2018 to 2023 period was a decrease in the number of insurance companies that were willing to offer policies in Montana. And I'll just give you an example. In 2023, 70 companies were offering homeowners insurance in Montana, and that was a decrease of almost 8% from 2018. And so, as I talked about on the campaign trail, and as George pointed out, one of the things that I'm attempting to do as the state insurance commissioner is to try to bring competition into the market, more companies into the market so that people have choice, because that will drive down price. We just know that. So a couple things that I've worked on in my first 6 months. One, I'm hosting an insurance summit that will be held in Anaconda in September, where I'm inviting insurance companies that don't do business in Montana to come see what's happening in Montana. This is a great place to do business. We provide a good regulatory environment. The other thing is participated in a conference just in Whitefish in June, where we, again, same idea was to have what are called captive insurance companies come. So these are self-insuring companies to come and domicile and do business in Montana, which is a good thing because it brings capital and revenue into the state. And so right now, first 6 months on the job, trying to work with these companies, try to entice them to do business here.
Wow. So George, it sounds like we've got an elected official here who's actually following through on what he said on the campaign trail.
Exactly. It's great. It's refreshing.
It is. Jim, you're also, as one of our statewide elected officials, you're a member of the State Land Board. Very important position there. Anything to update our listeners on with the land board stuff?
Yeah, and I appreciate this. Most people don't think of me as the state auditor serving as one of the trustees of state public trust lands, but that's exactly what I do. It's part of the reason I ran for this position. As you know, David, for many years I represented agriculture interests of Montana's attorney, namely the Wool Growers Association. And one of the things that we have seen over time, of course, here in the state of Montana is that the federal government has not been a great partner, to say the least, in management of public lands, right? So when BLM lands aren't properly managed or Forest Service lands aren't properly managed, that has an impact on our state trust lands. I'm very pleased with the Big Beautiful Bill in this regard. As you know, President Trump has made proper management of federal lands a priority for him. One of the great provisions in the Big Beautiful Bill was that that bill expands timber sales by 250 million board feet per year for the next 10 years and extends timber sale contracts for 20 years. And then even better than that, because this was part of my law practice when I was representing ag groups, is NEPA reform. Oh, my gosh, so needed. NEPA has been used, as you know, as a cudgel in federal courts to stop proper land management efforts on federal lands, and huge NEPA reform in the Big Beautiful bill. And that's going to be a great thing because that's going to give the opportunity for the state of Montana to work with the feds on doing joint projects like Good Neighbor Authority, where we can actually, put the meat into the Treasure State motto, right? We can actually develop our state resources.
I haven't heard, George, have you heard about the NEPA reforms in the One Big Beautiful Bill? There's been so much focus on everything else.
Well, I haven't really heard anybody talking about it, but I believe that's the National Environmental Policy Act. Is that right?
I think it sounds right.
Yeah.
So, Jim, it's just crazy to me because there's so much that's been talked about in that bill, and frankly, that NEPA reform sounds like it's pretty important. I'm surprised that hasn't gotten more media attention.
Well, it didn't surprise me from the Montana press because, as you know, they often champion the environmental community's positions as opposed to those that actually produce for Montanans. But, yeah, so, for example, the BLM just released over 102 new categorical exclusions so that certain types of projects don't even have to go through environmental review. And you can imagine the speed with which that will now enable the federal government to work with private industry and the state of Montana to do beneficial forest projects.
So I looked it up there real quick, and so this does make sense, and this does go along with what President Trump has done in a lot of different areas, and basically it's reforms to streamline processes, reducing delays in permitting and development, and limiting the amount of time that they have for environmental reviews. Because, they'll lock something up for 20 years, just be dragging their feet on a slow review or something like that. So, yeah, this goes right along with what he's doing in all kinds of industries. So
That's fantastic news. And have I seen some news recently about the governor or the land board or something approving some either timber projects or something like that? Is that right, Jim, or am I misremembering?
No, you're right. Land board meets once a month, and then what we do, of course, is that we approve projects that the DNRC or FWP or whomever is working with on state trust lands, and we've been really successful lately in mitigating the number of lawsuits that are being filed against timber projects on state trust lands, which has, of course, sped up the process, but also the number of board feet that we're now authorizing to be extracted is also going up. And so dual benefit. But also, those that criticize the Bakken, saying, how bad it is or whatever, under the Trump administration, and this is why elections matter, truly. As you know, the Trump administration has made domestic energy production a priority. And so what's happening as a result of that is that the state trust lands that are in the Bakken area are also generating more revenue for the state of Montana. Again, a win-win situation. And if people don't know, where the revenue from these state trust land goes is for the benefit of public schools and public education in Montana. Win-win-win situation.
Yeah, it's like the other thing is that what trees are? Trees are a renewable resource. If you cut a tree down and you plant another one, you the tree grows back. And what is up with these? I thought Democrats liked renewable resources. I thought Democrats liked school funding. So what's the opposition there? It's ridiculous.
Well, I would say any opposition isn't reasonable because of the factors that you pointed out. Yeah, I mean, trees are a renewable resource, and the revenue goes to public education, which, as you stated, the Democratic Party in theory supports. But what we've seen in Montana, and I've grown up in Montana, is that the Democratic Party in Montana has been taken over by very unreasonable people. I mean, you not only see it on social issues, but you also see it on economic issues. And for years, as you know, the platform has been to shut down productive use of state lands. And in my belief, and I mean this sincerely, I believe that it is one of the reasons, primary reasons, why the Democratic Party has no elected officials in the state is because they've abandoned the working men and women, and part of that, of course, is the environmental movement and shutting down good-paying jobs.
Well, and putting in place roadless rules and shutting down roads. And, you know, I've got a lot of friends that like to, you know, ride dirt bikes and things like that, and they tell me about what it was like being able to ride dirt bikes in Montana 20 years ago or 30 years ago compared to what it is now. And it's like these Democrats, they want to pretend to be in favor of public lands and public use, but then they shut us out of it.
Yeah, it's incongruent. What, you know, talking about a messaging, right, of course, is that a lot of these environmental groups in the Democratic Party say, you know, the Republicans are about shutting down public lands, right? Well, that's not that true. What we've seen historically, as you pointed out, for example, the roadless rule that came out right at the end of the Clinton administration is that they've cut off access to public lands. And what they're trying to do, of course, is to shift access now to try to demand access across private property. Number of legal cases that I worked on as a private attorney. I mean, the example that I can give on this is the family homestead for my family is up in Polaris, Montana, which is in the East Pioneers. Well, the East Pioneers were put into a wilderness study designation, and then, as you can imagine, then the roadless rule came in. Well, timber that my family used to be able to access to build posts or whatever, right? You know, we're not allowed to access that and use it for productive purposes. Absolutely ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. We're up against a break here. Jim, going to put you on hold. George, what's your take?
I love everything I'm hearing from him. You know, I really feel like he's looking out.
Yeah, no, the ridiculous thing, too, about the Democrats trying to shut down the timber projects is then nothing gets done, the forest doesn't get cleaned, and then there's a bunch of fire fuel.
Well, that's true, and so there's a lot of aspects to it, because when they think about it, they think about clear-cutting forests, which even if you do that and you replant the trees, they grow back. And one of the things people need to remember, these are pine trees. A lot of this is pine. It's a very fast-growing tree. So this isn't like we're cutting down super old hardwood forests. That's not what we're talking about.
Right, and we don't even do clear-cutting anymore. It's responsible, and then they reclaim it, they replant it. They just, you know, it's a great thing, and it's responsible, and it's the right thing to do, and it's fantastic to have somebody like James Brown sitting on the land board voting on some of those issues. All right, folks, we're up against a break. I think we got another couple segments here with the Commissioner of Securities Insurance. Colin, if you want to ask him a question, 406-294-0970. Menace from
Snakes, zombies, public speaking. The list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and George Blackard here filling in for Aaron Flynn on Freedom Friday. We got Commissioner of Securities Insurance, otherwise known as the Montana State Auditor, Jim Brown, on the line. Jim, we got a message here from the Menace from Ennis. He says, maybe we should be careful sending out insurance regulations cease and desist papers, making these homeowners clean their property setback trees and bushes, maintain the property, removing dead and dying trees and brush, creating a green space around the homestead. I think that's in reference to what you were saying about the, you know, informing these insurance companies that they need to follow Montana law in terms of treating everybody similar. But in terms of, like, you know, I think a lot of conservatives might view that as like, hey, this is kind of the government going after private companies, telling them what they can and cannot do. What would be your response to that, Jim?
Yeah, to the extent that Dennis the Menace from Menace,
right,
is interpreting what I did as saying that homeowners don't have an obligation to protect their property, that's not accurate. In fact, I strongly supported a bill in the 2025 legislature that I think was carried by your earlier guest, Steve Fitzpatrick, that allows insurance companies now, this change in Montana law, allows insurance companies now to work with homeowners to provide discounts on homeowners insurance if the homeowner takes steps to harden their property, essentially. Prior to Governor Gianforte signing that bill into law, it was actually an unlawful practice for insurance companies to provide discounts when homeowners acted responsibly. So I think that's a good thing. The other thing is that, you know, the reality is that homeowners have an obligation to protect their own property, regardless of what the risk is or what the cost is. If you want to make sure that your property doesn't burn down, then make sure you take effort to harden your property. That includes maintaining your property's fire safety, having an evacuation plan, participating in wildfire preparedness programs, and exploring surplus lines insurance so that you can get specific coverage for wildfire insurance, wildfire coverage if it's not offered.
George, you had a little bit of a reaction there when Jim Brown mentioned how previously the law was that you couldn't get a discount for hardening your property.
Well, leave it to the government to make it so you can't improve your place so it doesn't burn down and get credit for it. You know, no, you can't do that. That's common sense is all that is. That's great that they can do that now.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go to, we got a caller who wants to jump in. Oh my goodness. I guess I don't know what I'm doing here. Let me see if I can do this better. Hey, Jim, are you still there?
I'm still here. I can't hear you, though.
Okay, let me, oh my word. I've got all these buttons wrong. Let me go to, let's go to Lee in Kalispell. Lee's not there either. I don't know. I've got these phones all screwed up now. Let me see if I can do this. No, all right. Sorry, I've got these buttons all screwed up. Let me see if I can at least get Jim Brown back on. Nope, I'm gonna have to.
Congratulations, you got rid of everybody.
Well, the lights are still on. I don't know what's going on out there.
Oh, it's confusing. I know it gets difficult.
Well, we'll have to bring the producer in here during a break. I guess let me just George, you had some stories that were not related to Commissioner, securities and insurance stuff you had today.
Well,
didn't you?
You know, there's a few things, and they're all kind of the same theme, I guess. You know, we've seen with these horrible, devastating floods in Texas that, you know, we had a pediatrician in Texas who she comes out and she basically said, you know, those people voted for Trump and what they got is what they deserve for that. And, you know, it was a horrible thing to say, and now she has since been fired from her job at the hospital or the clinic she was at. She's apologizing now, saying, well, that was before I knew anybody really got hurt. You know, it doesn't matter. It was a horrible thing to say to begin with. And it's not just this pediatrician in Texas. It's Chuck Schumer. It's these politicians in Washington, D.C. that would rather see President Trump fail, and if that means our whole country fails, they don't care. They just want to see him fail. So this, any politician at any level right now that blames what happened in Texas with this flooding on President Trump should be censured or something. They should have to face some sort of repercussions.
And they ought to be ashamed of themselves too.
Well, except that we know that politicians a lot of times are never ashamed of themselves. But this is serious and this is ridiculous. That river down there floods all the time. This is not, I mean, this was a big one, but there's problems down there all the time. This is nothing new. This is nothing President Trump did. This is nature.
And you know a little of something about Texas.
I do. And this is just nature.
Yeah.
So I just think that it shows how disgustingly sick our politicians have gotten these days.
Well said. Hey, we got Jim in Malta who has a question for Jim Brown. Jim, thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, David, George, and James. Happy Freedom Friday.
Thank you.
Right, back at you.
Quick question. So in the state of Montana, our forest management procedures are so much better than the state of California and other states where we've got good, you know, folks in office that are taking the steps. You would think that within the state of Montana and these large insurance companies that, you know, states like ours would perhaps give a better break on the insurance instead of jacking our rates up. Like mine last year went up between $700 and $900 for the year just for my homestead home that I have, and we're having to pay for, you know, all the other states is lack of correct management, and you know, I put a tin roof on my house to help protect it, et cetera. But I don't know. Is there anything that we can do, you know, to where you could set certain, and I hate to see, you know, manage private companies, but is there something that could be done to, you know, offer discounts for states that actually have better programs in place?
Yeah, great question, Jim in Malta. Thank you for that. Jim Brown, were you able to hear that question?
Yeah, I was, and that's a great question. The thrust of the question is absolutely correct. What's happening is that we're seeing poor land management policies being instituted across Western states. You know, we've seen what's happened in California, where they just decided to do to abandon any pretense of actual land management, and of course that resulted in the huge and catastrophic wildfire in L.A., the most expensive loss event in United States history, might I add. And what we're seeing from California, of course, is that insurance companies are pulling out of the California market because of poor land managed decisions, poor regulatory decisions. Same thing's happening in Colorado. We don't want that to happen in Montana. To the extent that these events are having an impact in Montana, they do for in two ways. One is that reinsurance companies, which is an interesting concept, like it's an insurance company for an insurance company, they are able to base their risk and their pricing based on, like, regional or national catastrophic events that then has an impact on Montana prices. And then the other thing that's happening, of course, is these insurance companies are now being very strict on how they're doing the wildfire modeling. I would say going even too far, overestimating risk. But and that's resulting in higher premiums and cancellations in Montana. I can understand in a way why they're doing it, but I don't think it's proper. One of the things that I'm looking at in my office, and maybe working with the legislature in the 27th session, is to do some kind of law or program that says that insurance companies that do business in Montana have to have maybe like a state-approved wildfire risk modeling or map or something to that effect, so that we know that they're properly modeling for risk.
Yeah, I mean, it seems totally unfair for people in Montana's homeowners insurance rates to go up because California won't manage their forests and resulting in a bunch of homes burning down all the time. And California won't manage its water to where when there is a fire that's going around, the fire hydrants are empty, George.
Absolutely. See, that's we've seen these crazy scenarios just like that. That was a real scenario that you just mentioned. And, you know, only in California can you do that.
Unbelievable. We got 30 seconds left here. Let me take another call here before the break. Lee in Kalispell. Lee, thanks for calling.
Yes, it deals with the flooding in Texas. Instead of countrywide, why don't we have a setup where air raid sirens or something like that could be set to warn the people in case of flooding in those areas?
Hey, that's a great question. And actually, that actually reminds me of something I was going to bring up to Jim Brown as well, which is, especially we're talking wildfire risk and things like that. There was a big story recently about using AI to basically try to look out for potential fires, you know, satellite imagery, AI analysis of satellite imagery. Kind of curious to hear if that isn't doing anything for the or impacting any of the auditors' work up there in Helena. We got one more segment with the Commissioner of Securities Insurance, James Brown, David Noble, and George Blackard in for Inflint.
The conservative underground meets right now. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Wall Street firms, you got this guy Anthony Pompliano, CEO, Professional Capital Management. It has failed in America in every single way, he says. And there are more Wall Street firms that are now out there openly saying if Mamdani wins, they are going to flee. I mean, every major Wall Street firm, every private equity firm, every major bank on Wall Street, they're all now have a massive presence in South Florida. And they're going to, and Ron DeSantis, you know, my governor, is saying it's going to be great for Florida if Mamdani wins. It's insane.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you're with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you are overpaying for wireless, period, end of sentence. You're paying for thousands of retail stores that you're never going to go to. You're paying for unnecessary perks that you'll never use. But guess what? My cell phone provider, Pure Talk, they use the same 5G network, the same cell towers. The only difference? They don't charge you for any of the garbage. Instead, Pure Talk will give you unlimited talk, unlimited text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And guess what? You can keep your phone and your phone number. The switch is simple, fast, easy. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. And you can be switched over in mere minutes. #250, keyword save now. Make the switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Fox Country.
I'm Tanya J. Powers. Legendary funny man Ray Stevens is recovering after having heart surgery earlier this week. The Country Music Hall of Famer suffered a minor heart attack on Friday and was hospitalized. Stevens, who is 86, is expected to make a full recovery. The Academy of Country Music will hold its 18th ACM Honors next month at the Pinnacle, Nashville's newest live music venue. The honors celebrate the country music industry with awards for songwriting as well as studio recording and other industry talents. Lainey Wilson will be honored for Artist Songwriter of the Year. Tickets go on sale Friday. And country singer Sam Hunt has welcomed a new baby girl with his wife, Hannah Lee Fowler. Last November, they revealed the pregnancy, but only recently announced that their new son was born back in May. That makes two boys and one girl for Hunt, who told Taste of Country that the family is good, but a little sleep-deprived. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Donald Trump's America.
Brazil's insidious attacks on free elections, President Trump says, is part of the reason he's imposing a 50% tariff on the country's imports next month. He announced that rate in a letter, but it differs from letters sent to other U.S. trading partners, instead singling out the trial of former President Jair Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro is accused of attempting to coup after he lost re-election in 2022. President Trump has described the investigation as a witch hunt that should end immediately. Dozens of other trading partners are also being told of new charges as part of a reciprocal tariff plan first outlined in April.
The formula was a formula based on common sense, based on deficits, based on how we've been treated over the years.
Most of the tariff rates are below 40%, so many economists warn of higher prices for consumers as importers could pass along higher costs. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and George Blackard filling in for Aaron Flint. We got James Brown on the line. James, we took a call there right before the break that was talking about sort of advance warnings on the floods in Texas and sirens for floods and things like that. It reminded me there was a story here recently about Northwestern Energy putting up cameras and using AI analysis to assess wildfire and wildfire risks. It reminded me of the old wildfire watchtowers that we've got up on some of our peaks here in Montana. And we used to send a guy out there to live in the watchtower all summer by himself. With satellite imagery and cameras and AI, I wonder how much of that can really almost put an end to a lot of wildfire losses.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know what happened in Texas. I'm not familiar with it, so I can't comment on that. But as you stated, I was a PSC commissioner for 4 years prior to becoming the state auditor, so I'm quite familiar with what Northwestern Energy is doing. And as you stated, they are incorporating artificial intelligence into their system in order to detect smoke, so possible fires, and then also they're instituting a gridware pilot program, which uses sensors to monitor their power lines and poles to see if there could be a problem with them tipping over or a power line breaking and sparking up, that sort of thing, right? I got excoriated, as you remember, David, during my run for Montana Supreme Court in 2022 because I approved a rate increase for Northwestern Energy customers. But a majority of that rate increase in 2022 was to fund Northwest Energy's wildfire mitigation efforts. And that's a beneficial expenditure, in my opinion, because as we've been talking about all hour, if you have a wildfire and you have loss, then insurance premiums are going to go up. I mean, all these things fit together, right? And so if you do the preventative side, then you have less loss on the backside, and people's homeowners' insurance rates stay reasonable or, you know, don't explode, and you don't have catastrophic loss, you know, like we've seen in California that gets passed on to customers in other areas of the country.
We've got Fred in the Flathead on the line. Fred in the Flathead, thanks for calling.
Hey, just real quick, I did want to disagree with you guys to a point, but I'm not trying to defend California, but there's some things that are pretty good there. One is they have a system.
Hey, we're having a hard time hearing you. Can you take it off speaker or speak directly into your phone?
How about now?
That's much better, yep.
Yeah, so they have a system of alert cameras on mountaintops that use AI and detect fire, and then there's people that are monitoring those, and so they have a pretty good system for that. I want to talk about, I'm not trying to defend California. There's much to criticize there, but there's nothing that Montana's doing that's anything different than California's doing with fuels management or fire response. So, and there's a distinction between public land and private land. But as it relates to the federal agencies, yes. If you go out in the Forest Service, forest land here, you see it overgrown, same as California. Probably more roadless in California. But the Palisades fire specifically, there were a lot of problems with that, but it wasn't because there was no water. It was that the DWP poorly managed the infrastructure, not that there wasn't available water. I flew four nights on the fire, and there was plenty of water in reservoirs. It just wasn't that reservoir filled that supplied the city hydrants. And that fire in particular started adjacent to the city and moved off that land really quick, and it spread through the urban yards and vegetation that was within the city limits. So that one's in particular, but I think wildfire risk is nationwide. If you live in a wildland interface area, you're at risk, and the things it takes to mitigate that are complex, and I was glad to hear the commissioner talk about a lot of it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, appreciate that, Fred. Really appreciate it. James Brown, we got about 30 seconds left here. Any closing comments for our listeners?
Yeah, I just want to remind your listeners, first of all, that our agency exists. One of the questions I get is, what does the auditor's office do? Ironically, I don't audit anything. What I do is regulate insurance and securities, and we are tasked by the legislature to be your consumer advocate when you have a problem with your insurance company. So reach out to us through CSIMT.gov, CSIMT.gov, and we'll do our best to help you.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Thank you, George.
From the Talks is the show where we get a chance to hear from leading statewide lawmakers. We also get a chance to hear from folks inside the Trump administration. But you know where our best information comes from? It comes from you. You get a chance to call into the show. You get a chance to be heard all across Montana because the show is called Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can even call in at 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.